Four games in and I have a bit of a hot take, which is that we've probably seen the best days of Blake. From what I've seen this year so far, he's no longer an earthquake, but instead an imposter, a bit of a fake. He's playing passes that are very hard for people to take, and his kicking game is making my eyeballs ache. A few decent moments have been followed by mistake after mistake, and we're yet to see any of his trademark breaks. So far this year, all I've felt about him is
coming up on the podcast, Warrington are completely shithouse. Christopher Kendall, the Hadron Decider, is back and has a new infatuation. Following his poem, Daniel pulls down our very own marquee before exposing his flaws. Just what spicy dish will Ben Curry serve up? Chris Hill takes to the infamous black leather chair, and there's a legendary email of nostalgic music names. And we review the Leeds game, Did I Mention We're Shithouse, and predict Castleford on Friday night at the HJ. This is What Would Brian Bevan Say? Hello, I'm Rob London from here in a nuclear-free zone of Australia. But as the UK signs a new arms deal to replace its aging Trident missiles, where are my two podcasting explosions? So launching the podcast first, a long-range precision predictor with the capability of obliterating any Super League game with unrivaled analysis, it's Sam Exocet Sankey.
Hello, good morning, Rob. Good morning from a bright and sunny Warrington. I had a few drinks last night. I can't seem to remember anything. Did anything happen?
Oh, well. Yeah. Right.
Oh, Jesus, you're on farm, aren't you? Bloody hell.
And secondly, some would say an implosion rather than an explosion, with a strike rate less effective than a Toby King bomb, and yes, with his withered up very own stick of dynamite, too damp to ignite. It's Dennis Indoor Firework Waywell.
Yeah, thanks.
I am so deflated after last night's performance. My veganism, which has lasted 6 weeks, came to an end this morning. Yeah. I had two poached eggs. I felt that down about it. You all right with that, Dennis? Poached eggs, a vegan, you get that?
I was just trying to work it out. I didn't realise that was on the menu anyway.
Comes out of a hen's arse. We can't do that.
Why? What happens?
Ah, forget it. Right, now talking of hen's arse, let's move on to the match. Let's get straight into this. We'll start with the Wire team. At number one, Great Britain international Stephen Ratchford. Number two, England Knights, Tom Lynham. Number three, nominated for Young Championship Player of the Year, Keenan Brand. Number four, Ireland and England Knights representative, Toby King. Number five, multiple Challenge Cup and Grand Final winner, England Knights and England player, Josh Charnley. Number six, 2015 Dali M Standoff of the Year, Portugal and Great Britain, and marquee signing, Blake Austin. Number seven, Grand Final winner with Melbourne, former Dragons captain representing Great Britain and the World All-Stars, and marquee signing, Gareth Widdop. Number eight, Great Britain international Chris Hill. Number nine, Great Britain international and Man of Steel and Lance Todd Trophy winner Daryl Clark. Number 10, St George NRL forward and international England international Mike Cooper. Number 11, Ireland international before representing England in the World Cup final Ben Curry. Number 12, former NRL West Tigers and Tongan international who recently won the Man of Match in Tonga's victory over the Kangaroos, Ben Murdoch-Masila. Number 13, South Sydney NRL Grand Final winner Jason Clark. Number 14, Ireland and Great Britain international Joe Philbin. Number 15, former London Player of the Year Matty Davis. Number 16, England Academy Man of the Test Series against France Lewis Johnson. Number 17, the 15 times Rugby Union international coming with an exemption on the salary cap, Luther Burrell. Final score, Leeds 36, Warrington 0.
Warrington haven't won an away game since July. Are there alarm bells?
Oh, it was a very disappointing performance. That's totally unacceptable, that performance. We got beat in, you know, every facet tonight in the basic fundamentals of rugby league, which is really disappointing. You know, when you complete 18 from 31, and defend like that, that's what you're going to get.
Gareth Widdop mentioned attitude tonight. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you can't hide from that. It was a performance I certainly didn't see coming. And, you know, I just thought our tackle management throughout the game was, you know, really sloppy. And, you know, the metres they were making, it's just not up to standard.
Do you feel like you can fix the problems?
Yeah, certainly. As you saw, we beat the, you know, the reigning champions only felt 3 weeks ago, was it? So, you know, it's there. We just got to have a good hard look at ourselves.
Steve, just one more question. Three defeats so far this season. Before a ball was kicked, you were one of the favourites to go all the way. Do you feel under pressure?
Oh, there's pressure in all games of rugby league, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's no different. We've got to perform better and I expect better.
I don't think there's anything you can add to that, really, is there? You know, when you read out what all those players have achieved during their careers, it's a sorry, sorry state of affairs when you're scoring nil against a bang average Leeds team.
The thing was, I mean, not only was it appalling, but as you said, Sam, Leeds are not that good. Even when they were beating us, they didn't seem that good. They were making mistake after mistake. They're just a poor, average team.
Yeah, just before half-time, when we still harboured some hope that we might win, before Richie Myler scored, and I think it was 8-0, it might have been 10-0 at that stage, I turned to Simon, sat next to me, we were watching it, and I said, Leeds have done nothing, have they? How are Leeds 10-0 up? Because they've done nothing yet. And that's what was so, so disappointing about it.
Dennis, you look even more confused than you normally do. You just, what was that show where they all came alive for about a day? What was it called, that one where they had...
Awakenings.
Are you going to come round in a second?
Yeah, I'm just trying to form words because I think, you know, it, quite clearly you two have stated this, but I don't see it that way.
I had two eggs.
And but I don't see it this way. I predicted this right from day one, didn't I? Hey, we'll lose a handful of games. And all I can hear is panic setting in. It's all part of the learning curve for 2020, this. So let's have a look at some of the positives.
Gareth Monkey has said, Gareth Monkey has tweeted, he said, I bet you cannot get through the podcast without saying shit, pathetic, poor, dreadful, shocking or clueless.
Well, I think I could probably get through it, yeah.
If we talk about something else.
Right, okay. The first thing I want to know is, do these players, Sam, realise what their job description is? Because it's starting to remind me a little bit of when Tony Smith came to his end and all the players started to take it onto their own shoulders that they would do things that come outside what they're supposed to do. So we had forwards last night, Joe Philbin running across the pitch as if he was a hooker, not running in a straight line anymore. We had Mike Cooper trying to offload the ball every second rather than sticking it up his jumper and make some yards. Chris Hill was bang average. I mean, the list goes on. I mean, Gareth Widdop at the end of the game said, we can't go forward unless, you know, he can't do what he needs to do, him and Blake Austin, unless the forwards are doing their job. They were bang average last night. We've got a guy on the bench in Lewis Johnson who, where's Akawala gone to? Who would you rather face if you were a Leeds forward, Akawala or Lewis Johnson? I mean, it was absolutely a shower of shit.
There's the first one. You didn't last long, did you?
I think very, very telling for me, after the match, they had Kevin Brown in the Sky studios. And anyone who didn't stick it out to the end, it's worth watching. Carney went to him and said, you've just left this club, Kevin. What do you think's not right? And he paused and he gave half a smile before obviously stopping himself from saying what he really wanted to say, because he then just went on to say, well, I was keen to watch them in attack tonight and I wasn't sure what they were trying to do. And I don't know whether they're listening to Steve Price or whether Steve Price wants them to play like that. And I thought, you've said so much there without actually saying anything. You know, I'm starting to get a little bit fed up and a little bit bored of Steve's monotone answers. I'm on the turn against him, not in a keyboard warrior assassination type of way, but more a real concern for where we're going with this team. We look clueless. We look joyless in our rugby. Right. Is he sucking the life out of these players? We've just gone through that list. We've got all these individuals and we're playing awful rugby.
But between you, one of you is pointing out that it's players. The other one quite clearly pointing out that it's a coach. The team beat St. Helens only a couple of weeks ago. It's the same players, same coach. So what are you putting it down to?
They're just not professional. They're not good enough, this lot. And I think Widdop was pointing towards that in his interview as well when he said it was about attitude.
Gareth, at Seymourington, just had no answers tonight.
Yeah, it's terrible, wasn't it? Not the performance you're after. It's obviously a difficult place to come at the best of times. And we've been average the last couple of weeks, to be honest. So there's a lot of hard work needs to be put in. And we need to just turn up with a better attitude. That's all it comes down to.
So it's attitude.
Yeah, look, speak about priding yourself on defence, and defence wins your big games, and the last couple of weeks have been very sloppy, and at the end of the day, I'd call it an attitude, wanting to do it, and they just, 38 points or whatever it was tonight, it's just not good enough.
I want to talk about your halfback combination with Blake Austin. I know it's only a few games in. If you were to rate it out of 10, 10 being at the top, where would you rate that at the moment?
Not too sure. Obviously, it's not. We're not performing as well as we'd like to, but... and on the back of that, like I said, we need to defend a lot better for the likes of myself and Daryl to get into the game. So we're one team and we stick together, and it's not an individual sport. We all need to improve, we all need to be better. And it's a long season, there's plenty of time left.
Cass, next week, how do you lift this team?
Yeah, obviously they're on fire out there to start the season. Well, we keep speaking about it, we just need to play the style of football that we want to play. And like I said, take up with the right attitude and defend better. And if we defend better and stop turning over cheap possession, then we'll be in most of the games. And until we fix that, we'll keep behind the eight ball.
I'm sorry, but that was one of the worst performances I've ever seen by a Warrington team. And I've seen some bad ones. I was at the St. Helens game when I think Brian Johnson's team lost by about 60 points.
80-0. 80-0. And then a few weeks later, I went again when we lost 50-something, 16.
But this lot are all internationals. We've got two marquee players.
The thing about it is, everybody is capable, but when you actually look at it, it does look like that we're very too much systematic, following the structure to the letter. And you've lost that sort of combining as a team and working together and having that positive attitude, haven't you? Because I think that they're quite clearly capable. When they're motivated, they can beat St. Helens. When they're not particularly motivated, there's enough skill and everything to beat Toronto. But when they come up against a good team, if you don't have that right, that sort of team sort of emphasis, then you get found out pretty quick.
I think you might have a case there. But let's face it, last night we were embarrassed by Richie Myler and Brad Dwyer. I'll just leave you to think about that for a second. Richie Myler and Brad Dwyer.
I mean, going through, let's start at the back. Let's go through them last night then. So Ratchford is clearly not the fullback that Matty Ashton is. When Matty Ashton catches a ball, he's on his bike. He gets on his bike straight away and he's away. Ratchford's fine, but he did nothing last night. He caught a few balls. He never chimed him to the line once. There's a real issue amongst that back line that they can't throw a ball in a straight line. There was numerous passes last night that were just thrown behind each other. Just laziness. I think there was on one occasion Chris Hill threw a ball to Widdop. It was about a metre behind him. There was no need for it. On another occasion, right at the end of the game, we got a penalty towards the halfway line and we took a tap. And rather than the forward being right on the shoulder of the guy who took the tap and making 10 yards, we took the tap and we threw it back 10 yards for the guy then to run forward and be tackled just before where the ball was tapped. Now, you're telling me that that's not been coached, that's not basic coaching.
But Rob, that's not Super League coaching. That's Crossfields and Wolston Rovers coaching. They'd do that. If you're at Super League, you shouldn't need telling that, should you? You should do it automatically.
We had two centres last night, neither of which can throw a ball, neither of which can draw a man. Okay, Toby King might be able to go up for a ball. He can't draw a man. He's got no clue whatsoever of drawing his opposing centre and passing the ball to his winger or throwing a ball inside. And Keenan Brown was out of his depth last night. First 5 minutes, he comes flying out of the line, completely misses a tackle. Look, it's his first game. It's not his fault. The one player I actually thought who ran strongly last night in a straight line was Luther Burrell. When he came on, he actually looked like he was going to break a tackle.
I knew that by the time we got this far in the podcast, the South of the River tendencies had come out. Ridiculous.
I mean, is there anything out of last night that was positive? Was there anything in that performance last night that you could say he played well?
I've got a positive from last night. I was going to go to the match and then got a bit busy at work, so couldn't leave early, so decided to go to the pub, have a couple of drinks and watch it in the warmth and comfort of my own house. That was a positive, as it turned out.
I've got nothing to say about last
You've
night.
You've got
really.
Nothing, Dennis,
I'm
at all,
really
have you?
I'm trying, absolutely. And I can't think of it. Can't think of any.
What's happened to Siti Litiakawala? Have we given up on him again? Have we done our usual, we've got a few games in, we'll just give up on him again?
He's probably played his quota of 60 minutes for the month. March starts tomorrow, so he'll have another 60 minutes quota available to him.
You're so contradicting, you, Per. You really are. I am sat here thinking, hang on a minute, a lot of the stuff that we've been calling for like, you know, offloading the ball, having a bit of flair, yeah, okay, it didn't come off, you know, rotating players and things, that is what we've seen, and now we don't like it.
You need to do the basics first before you start throwing a ball around. You need structure before you throw the ball out. On a couple of occasions, Leeds last night threw the ball right, and they had two dummy runners. Every time, two dummy runners off the shoulder of the ball that came across. When we throw the ball out to the left, between King and Curry and Widdop, it's completely flat-footed. And they suddenly get in that left-hand corner and think, oh, hang on, there's no room over here. What haven't we done? Oh, there was no runners on the inside. There was no one stepping back on the inside. There was no kick through. It is so predictable. Okay, let's move on to what Steve Price has said, because I'm at the point now where, I'm sorry, his performance as a coach is not good enough. He's got away with it against St. Helens at Wembley last year. But now, for nearly, well, how long has it been, Sam? Since June last year, was it? When this poor run of July last year. Okay, so here's the first one. It's a performance I didn't see coming. Dennis?
I'll bring an expert in. Hold on. Right, this is the expert now on maths. He did us the Blake Austin performance bubble chart thing the other week. But we've noticed a thing here. This is quite cleverly done. You've done a column matrix, what I can see here. So I'm just going to explain what that is.
Oh, well, what we have here is a matrix mathematics. And as you can see, we have some comments by Steve Price and Gareth Widdop. And what we look at these matrices here is we can see that the first point, Steve Price says, a performance, I didn't see it coming, comparing with what Gareth Widdop said, which was average the last couple of weeks. So clearly Gareth picks up on the important point. The second point, Steve Price, he said, well, we got beat. Not very good English, but when you compare that to Gareth Widdop, he said defence wins you big games. So clearly he has a better idea of what's wrong. And again, in the matrices here, you look at Steve Price, he says, complete 18 from 31, better mathematics, but Gareth Widdop sums that up with, it was terrible. So, and the final matrices point, Price says, with a new word, expectada, not entirely sure which language that is, but when you compare it again, I think Widdop sums it up quite nicely in the matrices here. He says, turn up with a better attitude, which I think really sums up what you boys are trying to say.
Thanks for that.
What do we think he means by expectada? He was under pressure last night, Sam. Did you notice? That girl at Sky, she doesn't beat around the bush. And she sort of put him on the spot there and said, you know, you haven't won away since, when was it? June last year? And then he ended his interview by saying, expectada, whatever. I think he was trying to say expected, but he said expectada. So I think he's under pressure. I really do. I think the screws are starting to turn at Warrington. And if he doesn't buck his ideas up, there'll be no fans going to the games.
Well, I think there's two, we'll come on to it later on, there's two big games coming up for him, isn't there? Given what we've done, two wins out of five isn't the end of the world, but the way we've played in the last 3 weeks just has a fear. We started well against Wigan and Saints, but it just has a little tinge of last season about it already, doesn't it?
Now, Sam, what curry dish was Ben Curry this week?
I think it's very hard to single out a particular curry.
There's a caveat.
Well, it is, because I've compared all four second rowers that we had on the pitch.
Ooh, this is a politician thing, though, isn't it? You know, it's like swerved the conversation to its narrative.
I'll give you Ben Curry's stats first to see what you think. Nothing particularly good here.
So this is a bit like a banquet.
Yeah, a bit like a banquet. Ben Curry, 36 tackles, 4 misses, 12 carries for 79 metres and 2 errors. Okay, so nothing outstanding there.
36 poppadoms.
Yeah. Ben Murdoch. Just a minute. Ben Murdoch. Only 27 tackles with 7 misses and only 4 carries.
Four carries all game.
Yeah. Jason Clark, 28 tackles, 2 misses, only 5 carries. So let's just go back. Ben Curry didn't have a particularly good game, but Ben Curry got involved 12 times with 12 carries. Murdoch Masilla and Jason Clark combined carried the ball fewer times than Ben Curry. And then we got Matty Davis, who ended up playing hooker, if you remember, because Clark went off, who made 48 tackles, but only 6 carries.
So what you're saying is we've gone to an Indian restaurant and the food looks really rubbish. And we've picked the dish that maybe won't give us salmonella.
Correct.
That's what you're saying.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yes, that's nicely said.
So, on the curry heatometer, so I've got it down as a tikka masala under par. I mean, if we go further down the list, we've got biryani poor and pasanda shit, and korma begins with a W and ends in a K. So take your pick.
And today's curry dish is pasanda.
Pichkari mat maro.
Okay, it's not quite clear whether Sam's statistics have mutated into some kind of Ben Curry appreciation section, and there also seems to be a rival to his Stephen Ratchford mural, with a newfound love for a Josh Charnley wall hanging. But thankfully, you, the listener, are keeping Sam's feet firmly on the ground, with a few suggestions for renaming the section this week. Our new favourites are Dickhead's Data and CBN Squared, Curry's Brown-Nosed Numbers. It's over to Sam.
Statistics, caveats, bollocks. Listen up, you norms, it's time for Sam to talk shite. For 5 minutes. It's Sam Sankey's statistics.
Well, I've already had my little say on Benjamin this week, and I wanted to pick up in particular on our away form. It was mentioned a few times last night that we've not been winning away from home in Super League. And again, last night was pretty appalling. So the last time we won last year away from home was playing London away, where we won 36-6, scoring all 36 points in the first half. Mm. Now, I don't know what went on at half-time in that game, but let's see if you can pick up a trend here. Our next away game at Castleford, we scored 18. Then at Catalans, we scored 10. Then at Wigan, we scored 6. Then at Salford, we scored 6. Then at Leeds away, we scored 4. And this year, we started by scoring 10 points away at Wigan. We scored 8 points away at Wakefield. And last night, we scored 0 away at Leeds.
We did score a few against Toronto. I know that was at
home.
That was at home, Dennis.
Yeah, no. I'm
away from home.
Let me finish.
And never mind. Away from home.
You carry on, Sam. Away from home, Dennis. Away from home.
62 points in our last 8 games. And if you do that maths, then you'll find that 7.75 points per game. So we'll be generous. Let's round it up to 8 points. On average, we are scoring 8 points per game away from home since last July. It is simply not enough to win a game of rugby league. We are conceding 24 points away from home, which is not a huge amount. You know, given the mistakes we're making, the pressure we're under, it's not like we're shipping 40 points per week away from home, but it's 8 points for us, 24 against, or 3-1. Those of you who remember Ted Rogers in the old days. No, yeah, 3-2-1.
Dusty bin.
Obviously, well, put some of our lot in the bin.
Any of them last night, couldn't it? But that's what I wanted to see, and that's what we'll keep an eye on in the coming weeks. Can we score away from home?
Okay, it's time to move on to the Twitter vote. With Chris Hill back from suspension, where would you place our captain in the Warrington side? This was a bit of an interesting poll, this Sam, because it came out 44% thought he should be the starting prop, off the bench 40%, and in the reserve 16%, which is a bit mean. are we starting to see the sort of demise of Chris Hill? What did you think of his performance last night?
Well, it was flat, wasn't it? Like the rest of the team, it was flat, which was disappointing because he's been kicking his heels for 3 weeks. He's not tired. He should have had bags of energy, and I was looking for him to lead last night.
Where do you think he's been in the last 3 weeks?
Yeah. Learning something?
What? Mastermind?
To our first contestant, good evening. Your name, please?
How do? You're right!
In the first heat, your chosen subject was answering questions before they were asked. This time, you've chosen to answer the question before last each time. Is this correct?
Chris Hill!
And your time starts now. Who played scrum half for Warrington in 2019?
Yes, that's absolutely correct!
Who is the biggest dick on the planet?
Dick Patton!
Correct. How big is Ben Murdoch Masilla's girth?
Depends how flaccid it is and if it's covered in bandages.
Correct. What is Carl Fitzpatrick's jumper made from?
Oh, I'd have to put my arms round it to tell you.
Correct. After the Spice Girls World Tour, what did Simon Moran keep as a memento?
Oh, pubic hair.
Correct. Which well-known presenter retired from rugby league last year?
Ticket Stubbs?
Incorrect. It was Ray Stubbs. Which transvestite potter won the Turner Prize?
Eddie Hemmings.
Correct. Who is favourite to win Man of Steel?
Grayson Perry.
Correct. Who likes to cut wild flowers and dress in women's clothing?
Gareth Widdop.
Correct. Angela Powers stepped down from journalism to become...
a lumberjack!
Correct. Chris Sandow is rumoured to be...
focusing on women's rights and his menopause.
Correct. How would you describe Warrington's catering?
Class A drugs, homeless and living in the outback.
Correct. What is Warrington's ex-chairman, Steve Broomhead, better known as?
A big fat pudding.
Correct. Bundushton Amberdursen translates to?
A man of integrity.
Correct. Ben Fehler is a member of?
Hitler's Youth.
Correct. What germ is found under toilet seats?
The Super League refereeing panel.
Correct. How would you sum up Wire's fifth play option?
Shit.
Correct. What is the Latin name for flat-footedness?
Oh, Toby King, Toby King.
Correct. Another... I've started, so I'll finish. Another word for resilient?
Planapedas.
Correct. Chris Hill, you scored 17 with no passes.
Oh, dear. Do you know how long it took me to put that soundbite together, lads? I mean, do you know how hard it is to do the question before the one that was last?
Confused as anything by the title.
We did another vote. How do you rate Warrington's performance? We had A, dog shit, B, bollocks, C, pathetic, and D, all A, B, and C. Dog shit got 23%, bollocks just the two. I guess bollocks can come in quite handy. C, pathetic, 13%. But you all went for it. A, B, and C altogether. 62% of you thought Warrington's performance last night was dog shit, bollocks, and pathetic.
Well, I've been looking into that. And, you know, when you look, the categories you gave were pretty hard to choose from. But it's not really surprising that all of A, B, C got 62%. I had a look at all the singles and spent a few hours looking at the singles of A, B, C. Tears Are Not Enough. Probably got to number 19, probably what all the fans are like today. Poison Arrow, don't know who you... I think there's a few of them aiming towards Mr. Price. Got to number 6. King Without a Crown, that's a good one. Only got to 44, maybe it's a new squad number, not in the squad. Stranger Things, thought Tommy Lynam. It's probably a bit strange, isn't it? And then I've got the Steve Price one. This got to number 18. That was then... But this is now. And finally, ABC song for Cal Fitzpatrick, SOS.
Okay, if you cast your mind back to our Christmas special episode and my Christmas present, you may remember I introduced you to my new rugby league artificial intelligence robot, CKHD, or better known as the Christopher Kendall Hadron Decider. Well, you'll be pleased to know, Sam, due to popular demand, he's back. All right, Jesus. So I'll get... Christopher! Now, I have to say, before I bring him on, he has developed a bit of an attitude.
Oh dear!
I mean, when he moved in, he was great. He was clearing up. He was doing the washing up. He was helping around the house. He was polite, but he's in the last few weeks, he's really gone downhill.
That's what happens with these sort of referees, isn't it? Yeah, they get a bit sort of comfortable, and then they go and say something out of turn.
This is it. Now he's also become infatuated with the English actor John Nettles, who you might remember from Bergerac and Midsummer Murder. So I'll Christopher, I'll bring him on. There he is. He's here. There he is. Can you see that, lads?
Oh yeah, his legs looking better anyway.
Yeah, he's got his I Love John Nettles badge on, and you might be able to see another name there on his badge. Can you see that?
I can see that, and it's pointing to the groin area.
Yeah, it says I Love Dick Patton. So he's not giving up on Dick. I'll just turn him on. Hang on, just a second. I'll just hello, Christopher.
Will this take long? Mrs. London and I are watching a classic Midsummer Murders episode starring the wonderful John Nettles.
Now, this is the other thing as well. He's just hanging around with Mrs. London all the time. Like, I just can't separate the pair of them. It's just nonstop. Christopher, never mind John Nettles. Have you been watching Warrington at all?
Negative.
Oh, dear. Why is that, Christopher? Why have you not been watching Warrington?
I've been watching Widnes, as my favourite player is playing for the Chemics these days.
Oh, who's that?
Dick Patton. I love Dick nearly as much as I love John Nettles.
Yes, all right, John bloody Nettles.
Incidentally, Bergerac starring the brilliant John Nettles was filmed on the island of Jersey.
Yeah, what's that got to do with anything? All right.
We should take the Magic Weekend to the Channel Islands. I could see where Charlie Hungerford lived.
No, he's...
Why has his voice slowed down?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think he's been hanging around with Mrs. London too much, but he's absolutely infatuated with John Nettles. Anyway, Christopher, how's Dick Patton been playing?
My algorithmic quantum chip calculated Dick Patton performed perfect precision on 23 occasions.
Oh, that's good. Was it kicking? Was that kicking?
No. 23 occasions of precision pointing.
Oh, anyway,
Graham pointing produced the liver birds, which
it's liver
birds acted in.
Yes, all right, very good. For fuck's sake,
Christopher! Oh. Christopher, sweetheart, are you coming back?
Nope.
The Vic's about to take John up the rectory.
Coming, darling. I'm just talking with the idiot.
Yeah. Anyway, before you go, Christopher, since you've been watching Witness, how's that Latu been playing?
Ha, 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 ha,
oh, hang on. He's stuck again. I'll get the WD-40 on him. Okay, so there he
is. Charlie Hungerford planning a takeover.
No, he's not.
Does Simon Moreau know John Nettles?
No, he doesn't.
Nettles needs 10 games.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. Nettles needs 10 games.
I'll turn him off.
Yeah, me too.
What the fuck does Lee Breers do?
Sorry, I'll turn off. Oh, this is shit. Right, let's move on to social media. Come on, Sam, what have you got for us?
Well, I've got an interesting one first up from someone called Dave Birch. Oh, I don't think we've heard from Dave before.
No, what's he got to say?
I've never really liked rugby league. Perhaps I would have liked it more had I not supported a team that's bound to lose each week.
Oh.
I don't even know the rules, and I tend to make it up on the radio. If I have no interest in the sport or Warrington whatsoever.
Oh, dear.
I think he's trying to blank last night out as well, isn't he? Oh,
he's very, very pessimistic, isn't he, Dave Birch? Yeah. Dennis, you got anything for us?
Daniel. I don't think it's our Daniel, but he's come back with Jason Clark is possibly my favourite podcast soundbite ever.
Yes, yes. Good idea.
I think that is a delusional listener. Definitely.
Matthew from the Warrington Guardian. My voice is on the podcast for about 5 seconds. I'll send my bill in the post, chaps. Interesting thing, we are going to have Matthew on the show very soon. He's going to tell us what goes on behind the scenes at the Warrington Wolves. So look forward to that.
Paul Harper. Oh, we can't read. Have you stuck this in? Have you stuck this in just because it's you're editing?
No.
That's an excellent episode. Thank you for reading my tweet out, even though you didn't agree with it. Keep up the good work.
Now, I think what we need to do is every time that Paul Harper tweets him, we disagree with it. I think that's the way forward now, lads.
It is, isn't it?
Your brother's apparently wrote in as
well. I see. No. Yeah. What's he saying?
Yeah. Rice has to go.
See, this is everything I do, my brother has to bloody step in and ruin it for me, doesn't he? Mum may have said that she loved you more than me, but it's only because you fell over. She was only, I'm going for a drink.
I thought it was mummy. Anyway, what's up with you?
She's always loved him more than me.
if we get back to the comments, Daniel Murphy, I can take a loss, but when there's no passion or fight, that is when the coach has to go. What a load of shite. Buzzing. I paid 16 quid to watch that pile of shite.
You know, there's a general thing coming through, isn't there, from the podcast listeners, but also when you look across forums and so on, that, you know, they're all after Price going. But you've got to remember, when we had a chat about this right at the beginning in episode one, we said it wouldn't be a good idea to go in this season without supporting the coach and then to end up losing the coach halfway through the season, because you might as well write the whole season off. So, you know, we should really steer away from prize things, I think.
The thing I like about Daniel Murphy is his punctuation and his grammar and his spelling is always spot on. Top marks, Daniel. That's some of the plebs that write into this show. Gareth Monkey, I bet you cannot get through the pug. Oh, we've had that one already. Richard Shorewright from 4020. Is the result down to the lack of a Blake Band headband? Dennis, what are your thoughts on this, mate? It's gone.
It has, hasn't it? Tried to sell the job lot of the headband stock last night for 25 quid. We've got about 1,000 left. Not sure whether he's... I don't know. Do you think... We haven't really talked about Austin, but do you think he was conscious of the headband last week? He had all his hair cut off and dyed a funny colour.
Well, we'll come on to him in a bit, because Daniel's going to do a little bit on him towards the end of the show. Has he bleached his hair? Yeah. Is he bleached now?
It looks like he's been forced to do it.
Yeah, maybe with all his domestic duties, the domestos got a bit too near his head. He got a patch and had to do the lot, maybe.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah. I see Nick Insull's written something about a tactic for Price as well. Well, we'll ignore that. Neil Burns put, I hear Van der Velde is free at the moment. Remember that?
That's the sort of Kershaw days, wasn't it? When he was reffing Darryl Van der Velde. Nick Kindon agrees with Neil Byrne. We are better than this. We're better than this under Darryl van der Velde. Okay, fair enough.
Anton Johnson, I think for the backers, we have achieved a minimum to this point. Old Trafford, we were unlucky once, and Wembley is a luck of the draw. Can't just put it down to the coach. All in all, we should be better.
I should also point out that Anton also set another tweet in, just questioning our two centres. Possibly we're better to put our money into our centres, Sam, rather than these half-backs, because certainly we've got no speed or pace in that back line at the moment in the centre positions. Peter Bond, Shane Flanagan is available. Wasn't he from the Pogues? I think he's in the Pogues, isn't he?
We've got a friend of the podcast next, Alfie Garnett. This one... ass whooping wire took. What does that mean?
That's one.
An ass whooping. What's ass whooping anyway? What is that?
I can't wait to hear
the brains trust.
I think he means we got beaten well. I think he means.
Macca to his mates. Something is rotten at the club right now. Does Madam Boyd know something about this? That might be very telling. I think the best one, though, and I think this sums it all up, and that was from S. Worrell. What the fuck is Price coaching at the HJ? Fitzpatrick's words, world's best halfback pair. They look like Laurel and fucking Hardy. P.S. WTF has Blake Austin done to his hair? Load of dog shit.
Is that the title of this week's podcast? What has Blake done to his hair? Or load of dog shit?
Okay, well, let's move on to the letter of the week. It was, hi, WWBBSP. I'm a new listener to the podcast, so I've been pod binging on old episodes over the past few weeks, trying to catch up. Ridiculously, I've listened to them in reverse order. So it was only this week I discovered Dennis's love of Legends Nightclub, he mentioned in episode 1. Funnily enough, I worked at Legends during the summer of 1988, and then after not being able to land a job off the back of my philosophy degree, he's put in brackets Jeff Hurst, I worked there pretty much every weekend between 89 and 91. I moved away from Warrington now over 20 years ago, having settled with my family in a village of Wood Dalling, Norfolk. But listening to Dennis and hearing the wedding present music, it reminded me of all the bands I was fortunate enough to see at Legends all those years ago. Some of my favourites were Primitives, The Sun and the Moon, James, The Stone Roses, Birdland, The Charlatans, Kitchens of Distinction, Pale Saints, and even Blur and the Manic Street Preachers. He goes on to say, following a Legend Saturday night, I'd often have less than a few hours sleep before heading to the Causeway pub on a Sunday with our kid, before watching the likes of Boyd and Tamati knocking hell out of the opposition on a Sunday afternoon. I still go to the odd gig down south with my daughter, but it seems the youth of today are obsessed with filming the bands on their phones and talking during the sets, which is such a contrast to those brilliant nights at Legends. Keep up the good work on the podcast. I look forward to Monday mornings now. Mad for it, Jack Millington. Do you remember some of those bands, Dennis?
I do. Didn't mention Colourblind. I can't say it now. I forgot who that is.
Did you see Jet Lag by any chance? Did you see Jet Lag? Or Lazy Arse? Or Vegetables or anything like
Colourblind James Experience. There you go.
Okay, last week we were left a little bit worried by Dennis's idea of placing the players in some form of dystopian lockdown in a Brookside-style fortified Warrington squad housing estate. Perhaps it's best if we all go and put the kettle on for the next 5 minutes. God only knows what he's going to follow it up with this week. It's over to Dennis's Tackle Bags.
Tackle Bags.
You're joking. Not another one? Oh, for God's sake, I can't stand this.
Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Here we go. Tackle Bags for another week. Last week, we ventured into the new Tackle Bags subject area this of psychology. This is what I'm running with now. In particular, last week, I raised the issue around attachment theory, studying how new players can be made to feel part of the players' group quickly and avoid any undue detachment and poor performance as they settle in. Still got a bit of that now. So anyway, my solution was to create the players' group coop. The idea of building a commune with the necessary amenities and personalities of a small, purpose-built six-apartment house community with the support of the coaching group and management of the Warrington Wolves being close by. So, very strong response about this one. So, you know, get Mr. Moran to build this with me and I'll manage it or whatever. Anyway, 88% said yes. Colon Colin, sounds amazing. Would I qualify on my DSS status if any of them are empty? That would be the case. Might be good, you know, for a bit.
Bags be starring John Nettles.
No, it won't, Christopher. Fuck off. Sorry, Dennis, carry on.
Yeah. 10% said no. Bearded Marshmallow said it won't work. It won't be the form that is swinging. I don't know what that means, really. Mm. He's getting at. Oh, it won't be just their form that is swinging. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
And finally, 2% other, Andy B, you're a fucking homeowner erectus. I am a homeowner, but you spelt your wrong, so I don't know whether to believe that or not. Mm. What are you doing?
Putting some deodorant on. It's about 40 degrees here.
Just because you were trying to tell me this is shit. Anyway, this week I want to look at a cognitive dissonance theory. This was coined by Leon Festinger, 1957. I know, I'm struggling to say it, so let's carry on. Festinger suggested there's two points to note here. I'm going to explain what it actually is. And, you know, this podcast isn't for, like, you know, people with low intellect, is it? You know, this is how you learn things.
God only knows who it's for.
Right. consonants, not the letters, is basically positive self-talk. So let's see if you can guess who this player is. I'm a good player and I always prepare well and have a nice haircut for the game.
Oh, yeah, we know who that is. That's Luther.
Yeah. So you've got consonants there. That's positive self-talk. Dissonance is like basically like a negative or realistic viewpoint of actually what is going on. I'll try another one. I pass and my passes are shit, often end up in row D, stutter, and they're intercepted.
Don't let Christopher hear that.
Jesus.
Right. So anyway, that's dissonance. That's a negative. So, right, most people have these thoughts. And to try and avoid the negatives, this is what is known as cognitive dissonance. So that is what it means, is when people are trying to ignore the negatives. Now, there's nothing like learning, is there? Eh? Anyway, so I'd like to help Steve Price and find out the right combinations for players in their game and the selection in order to address this performance issue. So there's usually a few reasons why people try and avoid cognitive dissonance. We change behaviour so it matches our thoughts, attitudes and beliefs.
Is the big-nosed twat having a go at Dick Patton?
He's not Christmas.
No.
Let's carry on.
No. No, I didn't say anything about him, just observing. We find believe information that matches our behaviour. We avoid information that contradicts our beliefs. There's some of the things that we do. So how do we address this and change Steve's thinking when it comes to combinations?
Well, that probably sums it up. There's the irony, eh? Nothing.
Yeah.
That's what it comes from. No. Just absolutely nothing.
Well, I'll tell you how we normally deal with these cases. You know, when you've got this sort of cognitive dissonance. Well, one of the things you usually do is have therapy. I was thinking of maybe some hypnotherapy. We could take control of the big screen and we could flash up combinations and you know, the players that you should play. We could issue the card with cards that they could hold up. We could do a meme sent to his phone. You know, something like that, or even electric shock treatment. But that all sounds like technical tackle bags, so I want to try and avoid that. So anyway, I've come up with Mishmash TV instead. So here is a media campaign.
Hang on. This is Sam. Is this starting to sound technical to you? Because he has been banned from talking about technical subjects.
He hasn't. He's going on to video screens and things like that.
Well, it's on a technicality. It's more about the use of it in a psychological way. So bear with me, you know, and then let me know at the end.
I'm thinking more that he's ripping off the chimp paradox here.
Well, that's all. Anyway, the media campaign where we employ real-time video of positive reinforcement of the game footage that we can transmit over social media as the game is happening. And I mentioned it in Tackle Bags before, I know, but it's, you know, aimed subtly at showing game clips of players and plays that demonstrate good combinations. This would be a, you know, feedback to Steve and the coaching group as it happens. Now, for all our listeners, during the Toronto game, we conducted our first psychological experiment where we were able to put together a montage of positive clips from Madam Boy TV to demonstrate this theory. And that showed the positive reinforcement of players and plays to help Steve get over his cognitive dissonance. We did it, didn't we? Remember? I've not lost it. So anyway,
I
would like to put forward that instead of channeling those clips via Madam Boyd, the Betfred media team give the podcast exclusive access to the game footage that we can positively use and help Steve with his combination issues and dealing with the cognitive dissonance of combinations. We can work together to improve our performance and remove some of the entrenched beliefs that we should stick to the same plays, players and systems and unlock new combinations.
How's your mum, Sam?
She's not bad, actually. Yeah, I was a bit worried about her, but she's got through the winter
She bumped into my mum at outside Tesco's last week, actually, and they were talking about Dorothy Makin down at number 48 on Moore Avenue. Apparently, Derek's run off with...
You think this is a good idea? A lot of our listeners will do. So if you think it's a good idea, I'll get Rob to write to Fred or Peter Dunn at Betfred and set up our Mishmash TV. So if you think that's a great idea, write into us at whatbevin@gmail.com and Brian Bevin on Facebook and whatbevin on Twitter.
Now, do you have the balls to question a marquee player? Well, if you don't, we certainly know a young man who will. Daniel from You've Got a Loose Wire hasn't been too happy with Mr. Austin of late. And if his poem wasn't enough at the start of the podcast, to Daniel's credit, Daniel's no bigot. Here's his reasoning why he's fallen out with Blake.
I do want to talk about Warrington's number 6, because I'm a little bit concerned by his form. Now, I will say I'm recording this piece just before the Leeds away game, so ideally my concerns are followed up with a fantastic Austin performance at Headingley, which hopefully you'll have seen by the time you're hearing this. But let me just talk about what we've seen so far in the first 4 games from him. Some shocking kicking on the 5th plays. In the Toronto game, he gave the Wolfpack 3-7 tackle sets with kicks that were just nowhere near the mark. I mentioned before, where have his dummies, where have his breaks gone? You know, they were unstoppable in the first half of last season. Defences couldn't do anything about it. But we're just not seeing it this year. Why is that? Is he not getting enough space from, because defenders are defending better against him? I don't see it. It's just something that's not in his game anymore. Passing. He's played some hospital passes this year. My season ticket is in the East Stand this year. And I can see so many passes that he's playing that are just either behind the man, too far in front of the man, too high, too low. His passing game, for me, is not being great. And one good thing I will say is that in terms of his kicks for distance, his high kicks have been really good. and that was on show against St Helens. He managed that game really well in terms of getting distance with the high kicks. I think he forced a knock-on from, I think it might have been Jack Welsby. He also controlled that game well, played for touch, took a drop goal towards the end of the first half. So that was good, but generally I've not been too impressed at all. And I wonder if the Austin Widdop partnership maybe isn't going to be quite what we were hoping. He's taking short dropouts, which I quite like. They've come off quite well so far. Little things like that are good to see, but where's the imagination with the ball in hand when we're attacking the line? That seems to have gone away from his game. And I just wonder if, you know, he didn't finish last season particularly strongly. He had injuries, didn't have a great time on the Great Britain tour. Obviously, he was played out of position a fair bit. And I just wonder if maybe we've heard rumours that he might be looking for a move away. Would that be such a bad thing if he continues playing as he is? You know, we seem to have unearthed a gem in Ashton. Ashton could play at fullback. Ratchford could perhaps go into the halves. We know Ratchford's got a new contract. So that is just something to consider. As I say, I'm recording this before the Leeds game, so hopefully by this point he's put in a great performance. But if not, then I think question marks do start having to be posed towards Blake Austin and whether we're going to get the best of him this year or whether 2019 was his best year for Warrington.
What good timing, eh, Sam? What good timing. I mean, when he put that soundbite together, I was thinking, oh, Austin will have a great game at Headingley. Yeah. But no, he was dog shit. So what has happened to Blake?
Well, I think we've touched on it a few times, haven't we? We were discussing it last week. Our people,
right, to touch
as Daniel suggested.
You can hear work quite well.
As like Daniel suggested, people simply cottoned on, and he's a one-trick pony, and he's only got that right-footed step. Are they just...
Do you think that's all it is? Do you think that's what it is? I don't think English Rugby League players are intelligent enough to realise that he's only got a right-footed step, have they?
I don't know it. We don't know him, do we? But well coached, it feels like he's a confidence player, and he just doesn't look... He's just not got a smile on his face, has he? So he's not playing well. He's not confident. He got smacked early in the game last night, and he went missing for a while, didn't he? So, a bit disappointing.
Do you think he wants to go home?
I don't think he wants to go home like Tyrone Roberts did, but I'd be surprised if he lasts another winter.
Dennis, where do you think it's gone wrong? Because if you look at Austin's record, wins the US Open at 17 before making the semi-final at Wimbledon the following 2 years, and then makes the French Open quarter-final at the age of 20.
That's not Blake Austin.
She had the world at her feet, Tracy Austin, didn't she?
Sorry.
There's a lot of commentary now.
You really do your research, don't you? Eh?
Well, I saw the picture of wearing a headband and I thought it was Blake Austin.
Austin either. That's something else. I know what picture you're on about. Getting back to Blake Austin, I mentioned his headband and we thought it was like, you know, affecting his play. That's been taken away. It isn't. I think Madam Boyd mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, said that, you know, I don't think he'll be here till the end of the season, or he'll be gone at the end of the season. I don't think his heart's in it. He's not really ever come back. Sam mentioned it last week when he got injured last year. He's just not with it, really.
But he's hardly setting himself up for an NRL contract based on his current form, is he? I mean, if he's trying to put himself in the shop window, he's not doing a good job with it.
No, and maybe he's just finding it difficult. But, you know, sometimes it's best to take the pressure off, drop him for a couple of weeks, let him sort of find themselves, relax again, and bring him back in the side.
That would only Warrington could do that, couldn't they? We'd have to drop a marquee signing.
Set the tent down for a week.
Okay, it's on to Castleford next Friday night at the Halliwell Jones. Sam, last time we played the Tigers at home while we're eliminated from the playoffs, is there anything from that disastrous game we can take into this match to turn the result around?
The only thing we can take into this match is we're at home, so we've probably got a 50-50 chance of winning.
Haven't we always got a 50-50 chance of winning?
Yeah, no. You've got a 50-50 chance if you flick a 50p piece, it's actually something like a 50.12 coming down into against a 49. Anyway, Castleford are playing well, the top of the league. top of the league.
All the effort in every week to put this together. Now I write the fucking script, I do the sound bites, edit it, record it. Am I going on about a sodding 50 fucking pence piece? 51% bullshit.
Castleford Tigers will beat Warrington next week. There you go.
Oh, you reckon? You really savvy. Really?
I got you out then, didn't it?
I'm backing against Warrington till I've got some confidence in what I'm going to see.
Castleford. Well, looking at the prediction table, Dennis is on 3 points. The only person who picked up a point this week is Daniel. Daniel went for the loss at Leeds, and he was right. Now, brace yourselves, lads. Callum has gone for a Warrington loss.
He must be upset if he's backing against the team.
Can someone check Dennis's pulse to see if he's still alive?
Sorry. Nothing's processing today.
You're only the Peter Ustinov of the show today, are you, Dennis? Eh?
No, I have to say this must be like the coaching staff of Warrington, just void of all ideas.
Come on, Dennis, give us your prediction. Who are you going for?
Well, I actually got it wrong last week. I got confused because I was going for a win-loss for the first 10 games, and I'm out of sequence now. So I think I'll just say a win against Castleford and see where that takes me.
I'll go for a loss as well. I just can't. I mean, in some ways, is it wrong that I almost want us to lose so we can sort of, you know, get on with what we need to do and find ourselves a new coach? Is that a bit no?
You wonder whether last night might be a watershed moment. It's early in the season. Whether they just brush it under the carpet or whether they sit down and really talk about it, you don't know which way they're going to go, do you? I don't know.
I've said on this is that this is why I think at the beginning of the season, we need to go through a bit of a journey and find ourselves and have a purpose to win, you know, at the end of the season. And I think you've got to go down to the bottom of the barrel and sort of be in a bad place before you can sort of get that belief.
What you're saying is, Dennis, come October, we're all going to be going, oh, do you remember that? We lost at Leeds 30s. We've won the Super.
You two being negative. Bullshit. There's only me left on the positive. Yeah.
Okay, find us on Facebook under Brian Bevan. Tweet us at WhatBevan. Click on your preferred way to subscribe via Audio Boom or read our backdated stories at the Daily Mirror. That's for you, Gareth. So in a week that saw Britain's Eurovision Song Contest's entrant revealed, it's a quick remove of his miniskirt and a making your mind up from Sam.
Waterloo.
A puppet on a string with a boom bang a bang from Dennis.
A shame, yeah.
And it's a save all your kisses from me. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Did Brother Hufford Man actually enter the Eurovision Song Contest there, Rob? Or have you got that one wrong?
Christopher, turn down your music for fuck's sake.